Man, do I love me some desert. Something about it just gets me, like no other terrain. Every so often, I just have to get out there, and when I do, I know I love it, but I can never quite put my finger on the allure, definitively. It's a pastiche of elements, I guess. When most people hear the word desert, they probably think Sahara first, huh? Those endless dunes of nothingness. Camels and mummies and pyramids. I've never been, but those deserts seem as dead as the moon. Next, we think the painted desert, right? Arizona-style, big saguaro cactus, cowboy movie sets. But there are endless variations. In the course of just a few miles, the face of the desert can change dramatically, depending on elevation, even which way the wind tends to blow. Not too long ago, La Familia and I, and Moose, our ferocious 16-pound guard dog, piled into the fun wagon and headed east to Palm Springs, which is its own kind of desert, utterly unique. Come to think of it, Los Angeles, the city without a soul, is sandwiched between two hostile environments, the Mojave Desert and the Pacific Ocean. Both will kill the unprepared and the foolish.
The safari park.
You're killing me, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hands off to Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
Maybe what I like best about the desert is its ruins. The lack of humidity preserves most mistakes and leaves them as examples to other fools. Cars get old, but they never rust. Abandoned buildings decay very slowly from sandstorms, vandals, and the merciless sun. I dig the ocean plenty, but there's no history there. Well, there is. But to see it, you need a sub or diving gear. Uncovering the secrets and treasures of the desert is a lot easier. Plenty of them are on the side of the interstate. Roadside attractions. Except for me, they become much more attractive once the neon goes out and the scrubgrass and tumbleweed move in. Now you've got something you can sink your mind into. Sketchy history with a chunk of mystery. The desert seems to attract dreamers, and once they arrive, it can torque dreams into obsessions. Sometimes they pan out spectacularly, as in a little business venture called Las Vegas. Most of the time, the dreams evaporate like mirages. Why does this happen? Why is the desert so mesmerizing? It's hard to say. Part of it might be the expanse of sky and land. All that wide open space can give you a feeling of infinite possibility. But then, there are wide open spaces in Kansas and Oklahoma, but you don't get those same feelings there. Maybe it's the color palette. That line from America the Beautiful about Purple Mountain's majesty is not poetic license. Those mountains turn purple as a pimp's tracksuit just about every evening. And behind the purple peaks is usually some wild orange or pink or even green. Yeah, I've seen green sunsets. And no, I don't take hallucinogens. But it's impossible to view those sights and not be, in some way, transported. But who's to say if the power of the desert to alter moods may also alter perceptions? Plenty of psychoactive drugs are derived from desert plants. Peyote, mescaline, and so on. Maybe that stuff's in the air, and everybody's getting microdosed just by breathing. When you head east from L.A., you rubber band on the hideous 10 freeway for nearly 100 miles. It's a 10, sometimes 12-lane trench through a weird, man-made desert of concrete and commerce. If you lacked a compass or GPS, you might think you were driving in circles, one cluster of identical retailers after another for miles and miles. Bed Bath & Beyond, Chili's, Starbucks, Ross Dress for Less, Target. In between those clusters are hundreds of acres of car dealers. And breaking up those vistas are consumer Valhallas, the outlet malls. Are there really killer deals in those places? Sometimes the exit ramps to them are backed up for a mile. All those brand loyalists lining up, it's almost like some religion, including communion. Our Tommy Bahama, who art in Sunglass Hut, hallowed be thy Under Armour. Thy Adidas come, Kate Spade be done, on Armani as it is in Gucci. Nike without end, amen. Just before you hit the Palm Springs area is a wide spot in the road called Cabazon. For decades, it was famous for just two things, dates and dinosaurs. In the early 1960s, a desert dreamer figured he could goose revenues at his restaurant by building a couple of larger-than-life-sized dinosaurs, like three or four times larger. He had them built mostly from scraps left over from the freeway construction. First time I laid eyes on them was at night. They were all lit up and impressive as hell. They looked very lifelike, as if they popped out of a time warp and were coming to get you. Over the years, they've constructed a lot of shit up and around them, so the view is somewhat obscured. Originally, the guy wanted their eyes to shoot ruby death rays as their mouths spit fire. Oh, that would have been really cool. But it never happened. Maybe it was too expensive to rig up. When the visionary croaked, the new owners made it into some kind of church-slash-creationist museum. They firmly believe that 6,000 years ago, people hung out with those dinosaurs, just like dogs and cats. There's some weirdness right there, isn't it? First guy builds them so he can sell more burgers, and the new owners use them to sell a belief system. Only in America. The Brontosaurus is named Dinny, and a Tyrannosaurus Rex named Mr. Rex, of course, he'd be a mister. They both had supporting roles in Pee-wee's Big Adventure. The other Cabazon attraction is dates. There are miles of date palms, and so there's a store there called Hadley's that specializes in them. It looks like any steel and concrete supermarket. Dull, soulless, and boring. It replaced a cool structure that was a true roadside attraction of classic American kitsch. It was wooden, and although most of the inventory was date-related, they also sold nutty novelties, dinosaur eggs and Chinese handcuffs and yo-yos and velvet Elvises and so on. It was paradise for kids, this kid included. Now it looks like fucking Whole Foods, so it's on my skip it list. Now just a couple of clicks east of the dinosaurs is a skyscraping Indian casino, the Morongo. They run a saturation radio campaign in L.A., and it's enough to keep you out of their casino, maybe any casino, for the rest of your natural life. Here's the tagline.
Conveniently located on the I-10, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Morongo.
Wonder if that includes face down in the bidet. So my kids heard me mock those radio ads forever. And when we drove past the place first time, she looked up at the massive sign, sounded out the name. Morongo. And then she started laughing. Moron go, moron go, go moron go. That's become a family tradition whenever we travel that route. Just past the casino is about where the Coachella Valley begins. The place is famous for the music festival and the town of Palm Springs, which is sort of, what, Hollywood's boneyard. Tons of stars have gravitated there over the years, like Elvis, Bob Hope, Sinatra. I've seen all their homes. Elvis's is surprisingly compact. Sinatra's is nice, but not palatial by anyone's standards. Hope's, however, oh, that has a wow factor that's over the moon. The thing is enormous, like 23,000 square feet, and sitting on a mountaintop. And from the front, it looks kind of like a huge ball cap, or maybe a golf visor. Here lies the rub, though. Despite the elevation, in the foreground of Hope's view was an automotive junkyard. So for all those years, his million-dollar vista was of rusting scrap cars. Another desert dream with a big crack in it. Sinatra had his own desert dream shattered, and he responded with a sledgehammer. He was an ardent campaigner for JFK in the 1960 election. He even got his fellow Rat Packers to stump for the man from Massachusetts. Of course, Kennedy did win by a squeak, largely because of Cook County, Illinois, a place where Sam Giancana and the Outfit, as they called it, held quite a bit of sway. Cook County is home to a little burg called Chicago, and some believe that old Blue Eyes helped connect those dots for Kennedy. Whether those rumors were true or not, Frank was overjoyed that his guy, his candidate, and he believed his personal friend, John Kennedy, had won. Believing the friendship would only strengthen, Frank had a helicopter pad built on the grounds of his Palm Springs estate, specifically for the convenience of the new president, who was supposed to stay with Frank when visiting California. But once Kennedy was elected, his advisors, primarily his younger brother Bobby, who, as Attorney General, was making war on the mafia, Bobby thought it just wouldn't look proper if the 35th president stayed with an alleged associate of mob figures, no matter how many gold records he'd earned. So when JFK visited Palm Springs, he dumped Frank and stayed with Bing Crosby instead. Legend has it that Frank got so pissed, he demolished that landing pad with a sledgehammer. Another desert dream pulverized. I had a good look at the former Sinatra residence. I'll post a picture of it and everything else I mention here at the show page, thatlarryshow.com. You really should have a look. But I've digressed. Once you pass the Moron Go Casino, that's where you find a landscape from a sci-fi novel. It's called the San Gorgonio Wind Farm. There are over 4,000 wind turbines scattered around, and it looks like some weird image from a Jules Verne novel. The machines are gargantuan. They go about 300 feet high, and each blade is 140 feet long and weighs around a ton. At a distance, they look fascinating, but when you get up close and stand beneath them, the feeling you get is eerie. They make a pronounced hum, loud enough to be heard above the wind. It's like being on another planet. All you can see is sky, mountains of rock, and the desert floor, which is sand and rock with the occasional sagebrush. Then something catches your eye. Two big coyotes are chasing a hare. The hare is enormous, almost as big as they are, but that hare is quicker. He zigs and zags and vanishes. Where? Down a rabbit hole? The coyotes keep circling, confounded by his disappearance. I fling a rock at them, and it lands close enough to spook them, but they don't give a shit. They must be really hungry. The desert is full of mysteries, and on the barbed wire top chain link fence is one staring at me. A pair of red headphones. Why? Was somebody listening to some tunes as they tried to scramble over the fence, lost their footing and the headphones? What if they were listening to That Larry Show? Well, that would be a coincidence of sufficient magnitude to shatter the universe into small pieces. Maybe putting those headphones there was just some quirky act designed to make guys like me wonder. I've done that kind of stuff many times, cooked up some visual enigma or anomaly just to make other people wonder, what the hell is this? How much of the world's mysteries are exactly that? What if they built the Sphinx for the fuck of it? If the Pharaoh said, hey, let's make this huge, weird-ass animal-human-mutant thing out there in the middle of the desert so in 5,000 years... assholes will try to figure it out and get stymied. I love shit like that. Some years back out in that same desert, I found a concrete staircase, maybe 10 steps and a handrail. There was nothing else around it for miles. Nothing. Why? The Coachella Valley is huge, and only a little ribbon down the middle of it is occupied. There are a handful of towns that morph into each other as you drive the main drag eastward. Palm Springs, Cathedral City, Palm Desert, La Quinta, Indian Wells. Heavy population of retirees, so there's a ton of golf courses and medical buildings. If you keep going east, before too long you hit the so-called Salton Sea, which is a skunky, shallow, below-sea-level drainage ditch in the middle of a desert. In the 50s, some desert dreamers tried to make it a vacation spot and slapped up a few motels and a marina. But even the meth heads had someplace better to go. There are some ghost towns scattered around it I've yet to explore, but I prefer high ground and fresh air, and you get neither at that place. Part of what makes the Palm Springs area so spellbinding is the mountains, because in most places, there are foothills leading up to mountains. Not there. There, the mountains are more like walls of rock. As you walk along Palm Canyon Boulevard past tacky boutiques and restaurants with $20 margaritas, looming large just a few hundred yards away is that sheer and very nearly vertical wall of rock. You get a feeling of vertigo, and you wonder if a strong earthquake would bury the whole damn town. But still, that view is part of what makes Palm Springs unique, and they are killing themselves with their own success. More and more multi-story buildings are obliterating that view, and in a few years, you'll need a room with a view just to enjoy the view. But a world away from all that crap on the asphalt is another desert, one that I prefer to the haunts of aging movie stars and fanny-pack tourists. It's called the High Desert, and it's got altitude and better air and zero pretension. There's a lot of high desert in Southern California, and as you work your way up to it through canyons and passes, you notice changes, and suddenly things look very different, and you see these spiky and twisted plants that only grow up there in that high desert, the Joshua tree. Bono and his U2 buddies had quite a love affair with the area and named a smash hit album after it. But long before those guys found it, plenty of Southern California musicians were trekking up there to get high, figuratively and literally. The main road is Route 62, also known as 29 Palms Highway, and it's a wonderful strip packed with roadside attractions, plenty of abandoned saloons. Seems like every one of them is some kind of animal over the door, like the buffalo perched on Willie Boy's saloon. That thing's barely visible as the desert slowly reclaims its land. The Can-Do liquor store has a cow on its roof, and it's still in business. Maybe cattle are better luck than bison. One of the living attractions is an artist colony called Art Queen, with a logo borrowed from Dairy Queen. Lots and lots of odd stuff, like an old photomat booth, repurposed as the Museum of Crochet. Glass bottle fences, old hippie buses with psychedelic paint jobs, stuff like that. We wandered around it for quite a while. Then as the sun was dipping low and the chill wind kicked up, we passed a place that tripped a wire in my memory. The Joshua Tree Inn. Why did that mean something to me? Then I remembered. Graham Parsons. Who was he? A lot of people credit him with being a founding father of country rock. That he was a powerful influence on the Eagles, Jackson Brown, and others. Parsons was reputedly considered to join the Byrds. Then he formed the Flying Burrito Brothers. He spent a lot of time in France with the Rolling Stones while they were putting together Exile on Main Street. Keith Richards and Graham became close friends, but even Keith thought Parsons took too many drugs. Wow. Parsons never had a hit song or a lot of recognition, but There have been many guys like that in music over the years. He liked to hang around Joshua Tree, and this little motel was where he chose to bivouac. He'd sit outside in the evening, watch the sun go down and the stars come out, picking his guitar and dreaming. One night he told his friends he planned to drink for three. So he pounded six double tequilas like they were iced tea. Which, of course, led him to believe some morphine might make a good chaser. Some chick shot him up a la Belushi, and Graham breathed his last in room number 8 at that cozy little motel. Outside his room is a crude shrine. It's a big sloppy sculpture of an acoustic guitar, and it's surrounded by candles and hung with prayer beads and such. Parsons was 26 when the desert claimed him. He'd told friends he'd always wanted to be cremated in that desert, so a few of his pals stole his coffin from LA Airport, where he was being shipped back to his family. They took him back up to Joshua Tree, doused him with 5 gallons of gasoline, and lit him up. It did not cremate his body, but it did produce a hell of a fireball, which attracted the cops, and there was a car chase. But the body snatchers got away clean because, as one of them explained, they were, quote, unencumbered by sobriety, unquote. There's a long waiting list if you want to sleep in the room where Parsons died. I don't think I'll be putting my name on that list. As I walked around the place, I could see the attraction of it for Parsons and for many artists. It's rustic and peaceful. The only sounds at night are crickets, coyotes, and the wind whistling through those twisted, spiky trees. The front yard is the two-lane blacktop of Route 62. The backyard is the Mojave Desert. The high desert. No casinos, no mansions, no helicopter pads, no $20 margaritas. I walked through a parlor, back to the front desk. It was deserted. The woman who had greeted me when I arrived had vanished. The place was hung with a few guitars and posters of Parsons. Some of them dubbed him the Cosmic Cowboy. I made a note that when I got back to my hotel, I'd have a tequila and toast Graham Parsons. But just one. Well, maybe a double. But only one double. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. Swing by the show page at thatlarryshow.com and see all the images I made just to go with this episode. While there, click the subscribe button on whatever platform you choose, Apple, Google, makes no difference. That way you never miss an episode. And if you really like what you heard, click that Patreon button for access to dozens of bonus episodes, including my incredible two-part interview with John McAfee. There, John reveals his secret for finding a girlfriend, as well as the names of powerful American political figures he believes want him dead. Follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and now Instagram, where you'll see a complete archive of every episode with all those eye-popping thumbnails on one convenient page. Just plug That Larry Show into the search bar. You'll find it. I'll see you next Tuesday or thereabouts. And until that time, take no shit.